Hello and welcome to Intuitive Clarifications with Natasha. I'm here to assist you in your life's journey. I am here to help you in your life's walk. And today's show is going to be about trusting. I've had this conversation with many people lately, so my guides wanted me to talk about this, and I was hoping that it's helping you. I'm an intuitive medium. I'm also one who sees past lives. And like today, I was having a conversation with somebody talking about dreams that they were having. And I always enjoy to help people through their dreams. And what is the meaning of about a lot of these things? And so a lot of times when somebody is having a conversation with me, that's when it brings things up. So today's conversation, hi, Veronica, thank you for being here. And I hope that things went well today with everything happening for you today. And I get a sense that they did. I hope it was with grace and ease what you went through. And I'm not going to say what it was, but I hope it happened with grace and ease. So going into this, that, you know, we're all going into this moment where, you know, this year's shakeup. And the life shakeup that we've gone through, so many things in our lifetimes, I'm saying with an S, that many times that we come into this lifetime with, and, you know, having the people around us and, you know, family members and that kind of thing, that we struggle with trust. We want to be perfectionists. We want to be, or we're called to be, or we're set up into being perfectionism in our lifetime because of life. And many times we get hit with emotions. We get into anxiety. We get into all these things that when we can't, it makes it hard to trust. And Regan Forston was supposed to be here, but he told me that he would be traveling. So I sent him the email with the link, and he'll be here if he's meant to be here. He may pop in. That's why I'm not live on Instagram, but at the same time, it is what it is. I'm trusting. I was going to run the show the way that it was meant to be. And so my hair is driving me crazy today. Ah, it's been one of those days. So going into this, that trusting is part of the process, right? We cannot necessarily always know what the future is going to be. We may not always be able to negotiate the world that we want it to be the way we want it to, as I'm using quotation marks for those on a podcast later. And, you know, it's one of those things. Oh, and by the way, this is on podcast. So if you know someone who likes to be on, who likes to listen to podcasts, let them know about Life Clarifications with Natasha, or Intuitive Clarifications with Natasha. I've had a couple names with my podcast here, that they can find me on most platforms. It's out of Podbean, but you can find me on most podcast platforms. So going into this, that, you know, right now it's really energetically challenging to trust the process of life. And going into this, that, you know, we're learning how, or if we can learn to trust our heart, to trust our gut when things going on. And I know for me, I haven't always trusted the process of who I am. You know, like my ex-husband, I could have trusted that I wasn't supposed to marry him, but I was meant to learn those life lessons. And so sometimes we can't always trust what we get, because sometimes we are meant to go down a path to learn something. And that's the way that when we're looking at our life and looking into where we're at and looking into life going forward and looking into our story, that sometimes we don't always know why something happens, but we have to trust the process sometimes. And I'm going to give you an example of a moment in my life that we were going to go up and visit some family up at a camping situation, and it was somebody's birthday. And, you know, my husband wanted me to get a cake. he was like, get a cake, get a cake, get a cake. And this was the time when he was still drinking. And, you know, so he wasn't always his better self at that time. And he was like, and you need to get this and you need to get that and do this. And, you know, and I finally said to him, you know, you always do cards better. So you get the card and I'll write in it. Okay, we got that. Have you gotten a cake yet? No, I haven't gotten a cake yet. I don't know why I haven't gotten a cake yet. I'm not going to get, I don't feel like we need to get a cake. And then came to that day that we're going up. We need to leave. We needed to leave in an hour ago. We needed to leave. And I'm like, honey, we're fine. You know, I know you wanted to leave it, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, but they're also camping. So what happens, you know, can we leave like at 9:30 or something like that? It's only a half an hour up there. Well, come to find out, you know, and we ended up leaving at that 9 o'clock time frame, got up there about 9:30. There was something in me that told me not to get the cake. Every time I went to the grocery store to get it, I could not get it. Life was stopping me from getting it. And, you know, this is back then when, you know, this was over 10, 15 years ago. So, I mean, time has come back, but this is the story of a good story of why things are happening. So we go up, we have our card for him for his birthday. We go up, get there at pretty much the right timing because it just got down raining. They were just coming out of their campers and their tents. So we got there in perfect timing. Then one thing that was magically happening was that someone did get him a cake. It was just a small cake. And he goes, well, thank you for the cake. The thing is, so I really don't like cake. So me not going and getting a cake and the universe not helping me get a cake, the universe actually holding me back from getting a cake, actually did better for the situation because they also didn't want a bunch of sugar around the house because there was a bunch of, hi, Regan, just let me finish the story for a minute. That you know, going into this, that you know, they didn't want a bunch of sugar up with a bunch of kids running around. So here's Regan. I knew that you would show up, but yet I didn't want to.
I just ran in and threw a jacket on, and
I didn't want to stress you out about not being here. Well, so
thanks. Oh no, that was nice. Yeah, I just had some.
So how you doing?
Just getting over. Having a cold for a week. So my voice is a little bit crazy, but doing all right.
Well, good, good, good. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks. I'm nice, so glad nice you're to see you.
Here. Yeah, it's good to see you too. And you had fun in Monterey?
Yeah, it was a good place to be sick. You know, I mean, really, when I thought about it, it was just so, you know, the something about the ocean, you know, everybody kind of intuitively knows is so healing. And just, you know, hearing the waves coming and going and feeling the breeze and, you know, a good place to recuperate. I know that's why a lot of times back in the day when tuberculosis was going all over and they would send people to these islands or these places with beaches and stuff to heal from TB, you know, mm-hmm. like they needed to really rest, you know, mm-hmm. that way. Excuse me if I'm trying not to cough too much. I'm doing a lot better on that. I was coughing like crazy a few days ago.
Well, I know that you constantly have something going on in this chest area. So, yeah. And you know, I know that for me that, you know, my girlfriend who has a pepper allergy and her doctor was saying that, you know, she probably has it more where she goes, you know, there's been times where she's had to use 3 EpiPens.
And what is that? I heard of that before. Is that a shot?
EpiPen. Yeah. You put it, it's an adrenaline shot.
Okay.
Yeah. And it brings up your antihistamine moments in your body. It brings it back. And then that's after she takes like Pepcid and Benadryl and all this other stuff on top of it. And then she's at the hospital. And they're giving her another one. So she's had, she's had up to 4 EpiPens, which is pretty impactful for the body.
And that's because of pepper?
But what? Huh?
That's because of pepper?
Pepper.
Wow.
the shake pepper, pepper,
yeah.
You know, any kind of pepper. But then what what she was saying is that they think that her allergy is so bad is because she had bronchitis a lot in her life. Mm-hmm. So her airways have been, and I'm like going, cause I have a nut allergy. And so with her saying that, this is the part of trusting the process. Sometimes things come to us through osmosis or through the doorway here, that I realized that when I was growing up that I had a cough, and it was more anxiety cough through most of my schooling because of anxiety, especially during the younger years. And, you know, with my nut allergy, that I have to be careful because it's airborne too. But at the same time, though, people go, why are you so, because tree nut allergies shouldn't be airborne. They don't have those molecules.
Yeah.
But then there's something in them, like my mast cell or something. My doctor explained it to me very well. And that's why I'm getting it. And then now that I'm healing my lungs from my childhood, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually healing my lungs, that my nut allergy is coming down to not being so reactive.
Yeah.
And so going into this, that, you know, we can heal a lot of our body, but it's trusting the process. And that's one thing that, you know, I thought that today's conversation was going to be about trust, because, you know, my guides were like, they kept showing me things talking about trust. And I'm like going, okay, well, we can talk about trust. I can talk about trust. So, cause I know that you have gone through life a lot about learning to trust the process. You know, that sometimes it's not a straight line.
I've been noticing in these, for everybody listening, most of you know, I do these Life Between Life sessions as a facilitator through Newton Institute, and we help people achieve a deep state of trance, and they're able to access to the other states of consciousness, and they go to heaven, in a sense, or the afterlife for a couple hours. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of my latest sessions, this is a person has a really huge project she's been working on for 20 years, a very spiritual process. And I think her book, her first book was a bestseller. And this one's going to be called Five Blue Rings. It's all about all these miracles that happen. She knows this is part of her life's mission. She just knows this is what we're supposed to be doing, but then she keeps running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, you know? And so, she meets her guide on the other side, and he says, trust, you know, and he had her even in the sand. She's on this beach, and she takes this big stick, and she writes in the sand, and so you could see it from the airplane going over, even, you know, trust. Mm-hmm. And had her rise above that and look at that and trust, you know, and just said that, yes, this is supposed to all happen and everything, just trust. And he wouldn't give her any specifics or anything. So, which means she just has to just not, you know, just keep going, you know, and trust that it'll be okay. The book even, it was going to come out about 15 years ago, and Paramount offered huge amount of money to buy the rights to it and make a movie of it and make her book a bestseller. And they were ready to sign all the papers. And then Paramount came to them and said, look, we know this is going to be great. We're going to make a big movie about this, but you have to sign something saying that anybody that interviews you, you tell them that this is fiction instead of real. And they had the integrity at the time, says, no, we can't do that because this is real. You know, it's all about these miracles that happen. And they just sound like they have to be in some kind of, crazy science fiction movie or mm-hmm. something. But now 15 years or so has changed, and they've still been going with this. And so now it looks like Paramount has kind of come around, you know. Which shows
time has come around.
Yes, time has come around. It's like so that's what I think sometimes. Don't you think in trusting, sometimes things aren't happening in your life and everything because it's you just have to keep trusting that when the time is correct,
mm-hmm.
you know, things will open. Like why have something come to fruition at the wrong time? You know, I mean, you know, I forget whatever it was. Some big movie was coming out way back in the 40s of the day before Pearl Harbor was the bombs in Pearl Harbor, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that project just went nowhere because we went to World War II, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was wrong timing.
Exactly. And you know, I can tell you those little moments where sometimes I go, you know, like I get told, you know, after work, go to the grocery store. Okay. I don't need anything. Why am I getting the feeling I feel like I'm forgetting something, so I'm just going to go to the grocery store. There's been times I walk in and walk out of the grocery store, and I don't know why I did. I didn't even figure out dinner when I went to the grocery store. But sometimes I don't know why I'm called to do something.
Yeah.
But I'm trusting the process of that there's a reason why I went at this time. You know? And yeah, maybe it was because I said hi to somebody.
Yeah.
And maybe I recognize, like today I was walking, there's a guy that was walking out. He did a delivery and I was walking out and I said, "Hi, how are you? I hope that your day is sunshiny." He goes, "Yeah, it is sunshiny." And it was like, he turned around and he talked to me like, it was amazing that I took the time.
Yeah.
Even though I was walking into where I was going and I couldn't take the time to stop and talk to him, but he had to get, you know, we were doing this, but it was like, he turned around and I, "Have a great day." You know, it's like, and he looked at me like, wow, she actually had influence in her voice. She actually didn't say, "Hi, have a great day." You know, it's like, I was genuine about it, you know, and
yeah,
he kind of looked at me like, wow. And so going into this, that, you know, we never know why we have the synchronicity timing. We don't know why we have this energetic thing to do. We don't know why am I called to collect my notes? You know, am I going to write a book? Maybe. Am I not going to write a book? I don't know. You know, why am I doing this? And why am I doing that? You know, we just sometimes don't know why, but it is that process of trust. And I know that our spiritual awakening, that a lot of people tell me, why can't I hear my guides?
Yeah.
Do you trust what you're getting? Mm-hmm. Do you trust that inner voice? Do you trust that feeling? Do you get the trust of, I need to call someone right now. I'm thinking about them. And then you just shoo it away. Trust is woven through a lot of things. So can you give an example where you noticed where trusting your life, it turned out maybe not so good?
Usually it's turned out pretty good, but that's once I learned, learned to trust. I'm not 100% on it, but it was like, I was performing, when I did something in Hollywood. It was at a spiritual convention, and I was as an entertainer, as a comedian, I performed way back, and, I was from Sacramento, but I was down in LA. And I stayed at a friend's house, and my show went really good. It was super funny, and I was just on a high. And then someone was staying at a friend's house. I was staying at a friend's house, and then somebody that was also staying there said, "Hey, can you give me a ride to the airport?" And I said, "Sure." So we're driving, and just all of a sudden, she goes, "Pull over, pull over, pull over." You know, I'm like, "What? Okay." And I pulled over. And she got out and she says, "Come here, come here," you know, and we walked up to this top of this little bluff. And as we looked out into the harbor, like L.A. Harbor, there was probably 100 ships and boats all decorated and beautiful. And they were coming in port for the evening, like they just had a big parade or something, you know, and it was so beautiful, all these ships, and they'd all decorated coming in. And as I was watching that, all of a sudden it's like in a movie where time stops, and so it's kind of that feeling like I'm in a twilight zone for a second, and I hear in my head, "Your ship is coming in," you know, and it was so strong that as I left there, I said, "I'm going to move to Hollywood," you know, I'm getting called. So, I went back up. Actually, it was in the Bay Area, to San Francisco at the time. And I was in kind of a bit of a relationship, but it was not, you know, the person I was in it said, "Look, if you ever you know, just realize that we're not a real item, just, you know, for sure, just tell me, because we don't need to waste time, you know. So I immediately went, took her out to dinner and said, well, remember what you said? Bye-bye. But it was, you know, I was nice about it, you know, that way. Because
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, though. Sometimes, though, that it's like, that's the thing is there's sometimes where we have to have an ending.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, I just packed up, you know, I mean, within 2 weeks, this thing was so strong, but this thing is trusting. I just, because that feeling that I had was so strong, but I didn't know exactly why. And so, you know, I spent, 12 years in Hollywood doing movies, you know, and stuff. And which led me to something else where I had to be trust and everything. And then that kind of ended and I had to trust in something else. And I just feel good that I fought, because sometimes I tell people what I'm doing. They go, you crazy? You just got settled there. Why are you doing that? And I go, I got to follow my inner guidance. I have to trust it. You know, and so far, every time I've done that, I would say that it's turned out for me, anyways, turned out really good.
Well, probably if you didn't follow that trusting moments,
yeah,
to your imperfectness, you know, we're all going to be imperfect as we do it, but you probably wouldn't have hooked up with Patty.
No, right. Your other half. Yeah, that's right. And,
but you would have hooked up with somebody, probably.
Yeah, I'd probably been. I don't know, being a fisherman out and, you know, crab fisherman or something out in the middle of a bay somewhere was somebody from, you know, a foreign country or something. I don't know. But yeah. And that's the thing you wonder too. Said, well, if I hadn't done that, but the thing is, I know is we trust in spirit. Even if I hadn't done that, I know wherever I was, I would be getting some kind of experience and learning and it would be good, you know.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing is that, you know, liking where we're at, it is about that. It is about that. It isn't a straight line. Trusting in the universe, trusting in ourselves, yeah. Trusting in the whatever it is never a straight line. Never a straight line. I mean, and it's like, why did I get the feeling to marry the man that I married? And have, you know, 30, almost 20 some odd years of alcoholism.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, though, the man that I married was a blessing when my mom had Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. My kid, who struggled loving his dad and loving her dad and then dad loving her. Now she says, you know, I wouldn't change a thing in my life.
Yeah.
Because it made me who I am. And that's the thing is that, you know, going through this, we never know if I've chosen another path, what would have happened?
Yeah.
We didn't. And that's part of trust.
I know. I really admire people. And I try to be that somewhat. That when something happens in your life, I'll give the example of you go into work and there's a pink slip on your desk just out of the blue. You know, in other words, you've been a good employee, nothing happened, you haven't caused this from bad behavior or anything. All of a sudden, you know, company gets taken over or something. Everybody goes, okay, everybody grab your stuff. You're gone, you know. And the people that I know cussing for about 10 minutes, they sit back down, take a deep breath, and they go, you know, God must want me to be doing something else, you know. And then that's what they just have to trust as they walk out the door, that they're walking towards something else that's going to open as they walk down this path. And it does, you know, that's the thing. Pretty soon a year goes by and they go, man, best thing ever happened was walked in and got fired. Now look what I'm doing, you know.
Exactly. But that's the thing that I want people to understand too is that trust is a vibration. And if we trust with that example of moving forward, it's amazing how the dominoes do help us. An example would be, and I know that my youngest probably wouldn't mind me talking about this. She's told me that it's okay, Mom, if you do, that, you know, she just went through a year of she had a job. Found out that she had a certification that mm-hmm. basically got Good evening, Peta. So this is, I think, Peta.
Oh.
Poda, sorry about that. You know, that she ended up having where, and she lost her job because her certification didn't get renewed. And then she went through pretty much a year of not being able to work. You know, she'd put in applications, but they would never call her back. You know, she would go through two interviews and then never get called back. And I kept getting the tap that, you know, she needed to get that certification again, you know, go ahead, get that certification again. And then one day, you know, me being an intuitive, she knows that I, you know, do certain things, that I started having her work for me. You know, my other child ended up helping her through that year of things. But I can tell you that witnessing the journey of her, she became so much stronger emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Wow.
She really knew the depths of who she was. And then with my other kid helping her out, you know, if she would have had been not having help, she probably wouldn't be alive today, which would be an example of how, you know, my other kid trusting the process of knowing, because, you know, he has no worries about life in generality. This was an easy life for him, that, you know, he was able to help out, and he just knew, Mom, I just knew I needed to do it.
Yeah.
But my kid actually, my youngest actually said, if my other kid wouldn't have done that, I don't know if I would have been here today. So that whole domino effect, and all of a sudden she says, Mom, I feel like I'm cursed. So I did some energetic work. Within a week, she got a text from her old boss saying, we want you back. You were one of the best employees we had. She ended up getting her job back. She ended up being able to come up here for Christmas, go back, get her job. She just bought a new car. So after everything that she went through last year, learning the experiences, doing what she needed to do, getting where she was, she ended up moving in with a roommate. That's turned out for the better. All these scenarios that happened, she got a cat. She got a cat because she needed the social emotional animal. So now she's got her social emotional animal. You know, all those dominoes. And us as a family trusting the process for her, calling her up when I felt like I needed to, that's what helped us get to where she is today.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that we don't know why things happen.
I know. I know we really don't. You know, I just, it's fun at my age now. The one good thing about being as old as I am is kind of looking back and appreciating all of the miracles that have happened. You know, it makes you be very appreciative. And I think my trust now, I mean, look what I did, 2 months ago. And I told you about, I think last time, is that, through a series of events, I hear about the Monocore, you know, this healing machine, you know, and something it just was pretty powerful. And he says, you need to get one of these. And the opportunity came up. I mean, they cost like 10 grand, you know, but you know, luckily I got it for a little bit less than that. But the thing is, I mean, that's my savings, you know, but something told me. And then, you know, then my next client that I get, that I'm doing a life between life thing for, has cancer that they say is not going away, you know, with the treatment and everything. And so now I just did a fourth session with her, where she's on this, and people out there, I want you to know that now that I've opened to this and I've seen this, medicine is changing. The way we heal ourselves is going, we're going into a whole new thing, and it's all about a frequency and energy, you know, and as we're realizing, our bodies are energy and frequency. They've been able to measure each organ of the body and find out that it operates on a different frequency. You know, heart is a different frequency than the lungs is a different frequency. And now that they've identified these, this thing that I have, the monochore, you put two electrodes on people's wrists, and in 2 minutes, it'll show you a graph, and it'll show you any of your organs that are out of balance. And then with artificial intelligence, what it does for 11 minutes then is it begins to send the identical correct frequency to each of those things. And you'll see on there, it's changing for, you know, about every 30 seconds, a different frequency and a different frequency and that, all that. And what it does is it opens up all the meridians so your body can get in there and heal itself. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, like I say, my friend that had incurable cancer, his cancer completely disappeared. And they even had the head of the oncology department at this big hospital come in and look at everything. And they were just shaking their head saying, this can't be, because look, here's the cancer. We're showing it right here. And now you come back in 2.5 months and it's not there. You know, it's like, they couldn't believe it. So they just scratched in their head. So my friend actually said, you can go in and look for some. And he allowed them to open them up. And they went in there. They said, we couldn't even find, 3.5 hours looking all over the place. We can't find any cancer anywhere, you know. So, and also my friend's malaria that, you know, 4 years now, never had another attack of malaria when it was a regular every year thing, you know. So anyway, but I'm just trusting.
Congratulations. What a miracle that is.
I know it. It's only money, right? You know, and, exactly. And now I'm able to help some people.
But I mean, it's like, I've been hearing so much conversation around diabetes and Parkinson's and all these things that have been said that are incurable. But trusting. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not doctors here. We're not saying that things are right or wrong. I mean, it's like, you know, stay with what your truth is. You know, these are just perspectives. But I'm saying that I'm noticing the healthier my gut is.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The healthier that I have been. I mean, I'm a woman who has, you know, is in the after, you know, having cycles.
Uh-huh.
I don't get hot flashes.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting my gut healthy.
And how are you doing that for everybody listening?
I don't know. I just know for one that I, you know, 7 years ago, I went from my body not producing any hormones.
Yeah.
And I trusted the process. I heard, get on Bioidenticals. So I got on Bioidenticals and I heard, I'm being intuitive, I listened to that intuitive voice that I have. I heard 2.5, 3 years, three and a month or two. And then all of a sudden I heard, get off of them. I got off of them. It was like that. I didn't even wean myself off. I got off of them. My body went okay. Started working on my adrenals at the same time. My liver, I've been really noticing that the more I listen to my liver and the health of my liver, then everything else seems to fall into place. Now I have a chiropractor that helps me with my pituitary gland, my thyroid, you know, keeps those kind of in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But my gut, I can tell you though, that since my gut has been doing, I'm not bloated like I was. I'm really, you know, and my skin is even, you know, it was kind of, your skin is part of that last resort of what your body's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using castor oil. I was drawn to I trusted the process of being drawn to using castor oil.
Yeah.
And you know, I know that it's that ebb and flow of, you know, like when you start listening to something, you know, your algorithms get you into listening to it, but you know, Gary Burka and Barbara O'Neill are the two people that I've been listening to. One is a scientist and the other one is a naturalist, you know?
Yeah, I like
and,
that.
You know, she's been using these things for centuries, you know, or, you know, for life, you know, she's one that she knows it. And then Gary Burka has the understanding of the science of the body.
Yeah.
And talks about different genes and how that works. And so combining the two with my chiropractic background of my father and understanding the energy field with my intuitiveness going to my medical doctor, I'm finding a balance of the whole process.
Yeah, that's good. You know, and I think that's what each of us needs to do, is to, again, trust this. It's like our higher selves, or whoever's watching out for us. I'm going to call them God, or the great dude in the sky, or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. is sending us. When you put out, you know, when you put out the desire to actually be healed, then watch what happens. You know, in other words, where you'll hear a certain commercial and boom. And I think this Monocore thing too is helping me a lot, because now it's, you know, we can do weekly things where we can do tune-ups and everything. So we can kind of, you know, both of us be healthier, because if I'm doing this work, I got to stay healthy, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that. So, and interesting, you said about the, was it a kidney or liver? You just said, I keep getting them.
Liver.
The liver. Okay. Almost every protocol that's for everything that's wrong with anybody always seems to include, as I'm looking in these protocols for the Monocore, cleanse the liver and the.
The liver has a hand in 90% of what the body does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hormones, digestion,
yeah.
Mental health, physical health. I mean, it's amazing. So, it's kind of like the roadmap. It's like the major city of the body. And yeah. All the roads go through the liver, you know,
and then we the liver think about and the kidneys, it, right?
Yeah. The liver is about, emotions. You know how many people are struggling with emotions?
Yeah.
Well, if we get our emotions more, I don't want to say on track, but if we at least say, hey, I'm feeling a little grumpy today, that's acknowledging that, hey, we have emotions, and that helps the body process it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how can we negotiate life? You know, it is trusting the process. I can tell you that every time that I've walked a road and I did not trust, my road of life was a little bumpier.
Yeah.
But when I trusted the process, that I actually was able to negotiate a little bit more rhythm. You know, like I got the insight, peanut butter and apple. I've been eating peanut butter, just a little bit of peanut butter and some apples. And my body, it's like a cooling aspect to my body that's feeling a little agitated right now.
Yeah. I've been inundated with, because I know I need to change a lot about how I, you know, and Patty's been, both of us were pre-diabetic last time we went to the doctor. Mm. And so we got these glucose meters, you know, and Patty is amazing. She would just ride on it, you know. I mean, just, she doesn't even use the little machine. She just takes the thing and pokes her thing and just puts the blood on there. And she's, everything she eats, she's been testing, you know, like after an hour or so after eating, she'll test her blood sugar. And she's finding out the things that really raise her blood sugar and the things that really lower it by, you know, trial and error. But, you know, everybody, I think there's things in general and everybody's a little bit different. So it's kind of good to be able to, I mean, I love that she's doing that way, because she's got it already pretty much under control, you know.
And so, that's another thing that I've been working on, is my insulin resistance.
Okay, now.
Pre-diabetic tendencies.
Oh, the tendencies to, you know, you have a tendency to go in the diet to be a diabetic.
So in other words, the body wants to eat. So you're going to go to eat certain things to feed the body, which tends to be more sugars, which throws the body into more insulin. And so then it starts feeding off of that, the sugars of the body, instead of going in and working on the fat and the cortisol and all those different things. And so if you start getting yourself off the sugars, and then you don't eat when your body wants to eat, you let it struggle just a little bit.
Yeah.
Then it starts working into these different levels. And so that's where I've been kind of working off of the reaction of things. And so, you know, and that's the thing that I've learned, that, you know, things usually come to me when it's my time to look into it.
Yeah. Funny, I'm just laughing because I thought that this week, and I thought, by God, I'm almost I'm heading towards 75 and just now. Like, but I, these things that I'm learning now, I've heard over and over before, but I just wasn't, I'm still, you can tell in my voice, I'm still fighting it a little bit. I just, you know, everybody always wants to keep things the same and not change things, you know. You know what I found out today? I just blew my mind. Which country would you think has the highest diabetes rate, you know, in people per capita, you know, the country that has the most diabetes? That's what I would have thought. We're number four.
Really?
The highest is China. China is almost 3.5 times more diabetes than we have here.
Wow.
India is the second. And I forget the third, but I know I had to scroll down a bit, and there was America's the fourth. It's like we have like our thing is like, I don't know, 35 per something. And China's was 140 per, you know, whatever. And I went, wow, well,
that's the thing that I have understood. And this is what I'm trusting in this understanding that I'm this information coming to me. And it comes to me organically because my dad being a chiropractor, I've grown up with looking things a little bit off the charts here. You know, it's not been a straight line, but that anything that is happening, arthritis, agitation, disharmony of the body, it's basically agitation of the gut.
Yeah.
It's agitation of the gut. Well, and so looking at the pre-diabetes, well, for one, you know, you know, getting a little bit older, we tend to, our body can't handle, you know, we're getting a little thinner because we've been beating it up a lot.
Yeah.
Right. All the pops that we drink, all the fast foods, the quick foods, all these different processed foods that we're eating, that we naturally are getting to where our bodies are getting thinner, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
And in that thinness, that we end up being where the insulin gets a little bit more wonky. And that's, you know, congratulations, you made it to 75.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm really hoping, like I say, if I, I'm feeling that I'm about ready to change some things. I didn't even know. I mean, I would have thought potatoes were, I was surprised at how, you know, they're very high on the scale of, you know, the amount of sugar when you have a potato that causes, and, you know, like they say, better to eat an orange than to juice it, because when you juice it, you make the insulin or whatever amount, triple.
Exactly. Like bananas. I've heard bananas. If you put bananas in your smoothie, it's better to make your smoothie and eat your banana.
Yeah. little things like that, you know. So,
but that's the thing is that I want people to understand. Right now, we're getting inundated with a lot of information.
Information
that we have not really aligned with for many years. I mean, how long have we been told to take a half an aspirin, you know, for our heart? And now they're saying that that's actually detrimenting our stomachs and things like that. So a lot of these things that we've been told for years and years and years, we don't know why we were told. It's just something that we've been told to do, that that things are coming in that are saying, wait a minute, why are we being told this?
Yeah.
You know, it was because sometimes somebody wanted to make more money.
Yeah. And what I read today, or no, I saw on Facebook, was a doctor or a nutritionist saying how kale was pushed on us, and now they're finding out it's like the dirtiest vegetable. It soaks up the pesticides and all this stuff more than the others. And he's saying his body, even after, because he used to drink kale juice, you know, juicing kale, and he says his body is still recovering from that years later, you know.
That's one thing that I want people to know. I'm sorry for interrupting you here, but
no,
that we have to discern out. And I, you know, for one, when something comes to me, I have to check it out.
Yeah.
I have to humanly check it out. Is this a truth for me? Is this something I need to trust? Is this something that is my right to do this?
Yeah. And that's why I need to really practice self muscle testing, because to me, I think that's something I would trust, you know, is to find out just for me, you know, if I have it in my hand, muscle test, and just find out, maybe for someone else this is healthy, but is it healthy for me? You mm-hmm. know, because I went just online and saying, okay, what's the healthiest breakfast? And I found six different ones, all disagreeing with each other on what was the healthiest breakfast, you know. But so some of the science now, that's what, when we talk about science, there was a woman on there saying, it's best to eat, if you're having a meal, have your salad first, because when the salad coats the linings of the stomach or something, and it does something to the sugars, that reduces the amount of sugar, you know, that's mm-hmm. done in your body, you know? So yeah, and have your, like, just kind of how we naturally do it. We have the salad, and then you have your meal, and then your sugar, your dessert, you know, mm-hmm. that you have. So,
but like today, I was like, what am I going to have to eat in the morning? And I heard tuna fish. So I made myself some tuna fish and just ate just tuna fish. I really didn't have it on a cracker. I didn't have it with anything. I just had tuna fish, but that's good protein. My body runs on protein.
Well, and that's what they're saying now too, is best thing is to have protein in the morning. In other words, you know, worst thing is to have big glass of orange juice and a donut, you know. Mm-hmm. I said that's like the worst thing you can have, because it's going to spike your blood sugar levels, and a couple hours later you're going to be depressed and down, and yeah.
So, you know, coming back to this, you know, we've kind of gotten off on diet and stuff like that. Well, but really though, that is, we're getting bombarded by so much information out there right now.
Yeah.
What can we trust?
Yeah.
What can we trust? I mean, we heard we needed to get the COVID shot. Now we're hearing that, no, we shouldn't have. You know, we're hearing, you know, we need to eat more kale. Now we're hearing we shouldn't. You know, we're hearing, you know, we need to take aspirin. Now we're hearing we shouldn't. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, where do we go with what is more right? Well, I can tell you that. That's one thing that I have discerned out very well is that, you know, going into this, that, you know, I've been, you know, it doesn't feel right to me, or it does feel right to me.
Yeah.
Or it does feel right to me, or you know, like, and I hear something comes to me and I get the information and then I sit with it.
Yeah.
And then if I'm meant to get more involved with it, then that information keeps coming to me. And yes, I understand algorithms. I do understand algorithms, but there's something synchronistic about some of those algorithms.
Yeah.
So going into this, then I kind of sit down and I kind of go, okay, what feels more right? And then when I start going, and then you talked about muscle testing, you know, holding that muscle testing, and that's where I put one finger inside the other.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you. Yeah.
Well, so this is how I do it. This, some people go like this, where they hold it, where they link their fingers like a chain.
Like, is that right? Like I have them there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then you can either link it with a chain. What is my yes? What is my no?
Okay.
Okay. Or what I do is I kind of like I have a bird that goes quack, 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 quack.
Yeah.
And then I put it around my other finger and I try to open these fingers. So I go in, what is my yes?
With two fingers, is it you going with like two fingers?
I'm doing a duck.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. And then I kind of thread the needle.
Okay. And then.
And then I try to open up the one that's in the inside. What is my yes?
Ah.
What is my no?
I like that better than the other one.
Yeah, it's. So it's like threading the needle, and then you try to open up the one that's threading the needle. And what is my yes? What am I no? Now, sometimes one of my yes is opening up. Sometimes it's not. So check in when you're asking a question. And a lot of times, especially with food, that's what I do. I really, especially when I'm looking at what to eat at, you know, if I'm going to a restaurant, you know, what should I eat, you know, and that kind of stuff, so that I'm more in alignment with my body. So Sopa said, I'm here. She says, holding on to a specific goal or vision makes it impossible to trust, because you'll find yourself controlling every aspect of your life, trying to achieve your goal or vision, as you cannot see your life without it. Abandoning the goal will make you feel fear and panic. She also says, personally, I find myself in this cycle for 3 years because I'm trying to reach a specific point, but I can't. And at this time, I can't let go of it. I've turned it into my dream. Well done. But I'm going to say, though, that right now, being a vision, we have, okay, so going into this manifesting, that when we're manifesting a goal, that it isn't a straight line. So I can say, like, let's say I'm envisioning myself being on more podcasts. Okay. And so visioning that, what is it that I would like? And I'm putting it out there that I can see myself sitting in front of the computer, or I'm sitting in front of where I'm at. I can see myself traveling to be on one. You know, I'm giving these ideas to the universe that I'm willing to go. Then what am I supposed to do in that process? Well, I have somebody who's working for me right now that's able to, I send her a link of a podcast and she's getting me on, or she's putting it out there. Now, what that's doing also that I got the other day is putting another an intention. So what I did was is that I attached some energy to her doing it so that there's more blessings to it instead of being detached from it. And then what I do is that I set up that goal and that intention to be, I want to be on more podcasts. And I've gotten this mantra that has come into, that came to me through, you know, as I'm doing my posts, these videos come to me. And it was about coming to me in miraculous and unplanned ways. Miraculously and unplanned ways. Hmm. And so being open to those unplanned ways, it sets up that I have a goal. Yes, I have this goal. But I'm going to trust the process that it's going to come to me in these miraculous and and you get into that vibration of it. But we have to set up the mind that we can do it. So practicing where we're going with that. What do I need to do today to set up that intention? Well, look on YouTube for spiritual podcasts. Then get that done and then send that off to the person who sends the letter off that you know, with me, with my dyslexia, she ends up writing the, changing up the letter just enough for the podcast that I'm going to be on. Yeah. Oh, so good. Then going into this, so going into how do we negotiate that? We cannot have the goal as boundaries. Open the idea up for a goal.
I found, and that's what makes them so real sometimes, is when I have these desires and goals, that most of the time when they actually come to fruition, it comes out of left field. So much so that you realize, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, I mean, you know, that's what it's from, because it's like something you couldn't have thought up, or you didn't think that it would happen in a certain way. And I think when that happens and you have this awareness, this is when you begin to trust, you know, because you realize, oh wow, thank you. You know, this was a real miracle here. You know,
and we can ask for those miracles. I know, Kathy, thank you very much for saying this. She says, it's detached from the steps along the way rather than the outcome.
Yeah. And when we have all these goals, where the real learning from everything comes from is in the process of manifesting, is in the process of what happens to when you get to your goal. You know, it's almost like the goal is just almost an afterthought sometimes, you know. But that we learn so much, you know, whether it's how to learn with how to learn to trust, you know, how to learn to accept a lot of roadblocks along the way, you know, that you're going to have to do a lot of work and everything. So
and as the lights go out sometimes.
Yeah, look at that. Almost right on cue there, right there. I had this. That's when my computer went off. So I had to turn on my light. Life is definitely like, interesting.
It is interesting. And that's the thing that like I was on a course one time about manifesting and like he said that you know, what you do is you vision what your outcome or what your problem is, and then you take two steps over and you vision you go over to the left and you vision what is the outcome you wish for. And then you come back a couple of steps and then you see what are the steps that you need to do to make it happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not what you're thinking it would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wish if I was going back to my diaries from all these years, there'd be lots of examples of that, you know, of it being different or, you know, something. Sometimes, though, things manifest. I mean, this is when miracles happen sometimes where they manifest almost immediately. The one I was thinking of is when I had an addiction. I told a story a few years ago, I think, there, but I had an addiction and told my wife about it. This is back when I was like 40, like 30 something years ago, and had hid it from my wife. And when I told her, it devastated her. And me seeing me hurt her that way and lose the trust that she had in me and all that. Became so devastating to me that it took me to my lowest at that point. And the addiction I felt I had no control over. And I just thought, there's nothing I can do about this. And when I was at that lowest point, I just felt this at the lowest point I had ever been, as I would kind of pray. And I said, look, I can't do this. You got to help me. And then when I went to sleep that night, I woke up in a hospital room in the dream. And this one doctor came in with these beautiful, I knew it was a spiritual guide. I could only see, you know, he had the blue stuff. All they could see is his eyes. And they were looking at me so lovingly and kind. And then busting in the door and laughing were these other five like guides. And they surrounded my body and they went around clockwise and they kissed the edges of my body all the way around. And when I woke up in the day, my addiction was gone. You know, just gone. I didn't have to go to 12 step or anything. I mean, that had me go, okay, I believe there's a God.
Like, but then oh you had God. To trust the process of your physical body, yeah. Trying to make different decisions, trying to do the different work. And, you know, even though you had it gone, there's still sometimes the mind wants to play those games. And that's the thing about life and going into this journey. Because we're coming down on time. It's amazing how fast time goes.
I know.
That, you know, going into the trust of you becoming sober, just like Rick, my husband, becoming sober. Mm-hmm. You know, now he's, what, 12 years, almost 13 years. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that whole process of the his world turning up upside down, your world turning upside down and trying to and becoming almost a newer version of yourself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we're going to change from our old self. There's things in your old self that I'm going to call it the pre-addiction phase, yeah, or the addiction phase that were good, that you wanted to keep. Mm-hmm. But there were some things that had to be left alone and left behind for that greater transformation to happen.
Yeah, I love it. And what I have a new client now. He's been, I've had three sessions. I did the tap. He's just been through rehab for heroin addiction and was almost losing his whole family and the respect of his in-laws and everything. And he's in his late 30s now. And I helped him do the tapping, which gave him, he said the tapping is he's taken the energy away from his fear of moving forward from here. And so his parents paid for him to go to Tucson. He just got back last week and he went up in the mountains by Tucson, Arizona. And he did this medicinal ayahuasca thing for 3 days. And when he came back, he was a different man. I mean, I was like, he just looked like he had his soul back. I mean, I think people know if ayahuasca is good for them or not. I've had so many people, it really seemed to help, and some people it didn't.
Yeah, it's a personal journey, and that's that whole truth, your own personal truth.
Yeah, he just said he saw just as black could be stuff that he was he was letting out of his system, you know, over the 3 days. He never did so much throwing up in his life. But he even showed me how scars looked to seem his first his needles and all that seemed to be healing and so much less, you know. So he's just trusting in the process now, and I'm trusting that he'll do, you know, he'll keep in therapy for a while to not backslide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
when the human body walks enough forward, it is hard to go back.
Yeah, he was such I mean, just in 2 weeks since I'd seen him, I mean, it was like a different man I was talking to. And I almost started crying because I was so happy for him, because he had all this energy now and he's ready to do the work. You know, he's ready to get in there and do it. And I remember myself when I was a little bit older than him, when I started doing that, and how I started feeling like a person for the first time in my life, you know, like I had some kind of control over my life. And I've never looked back, and I'm hoping he'll do the same. You know,
yeah,
it's just trusting. Wow.
You know, I know this conversation went a little bit everywhere.
Yeah,
today, I do apologize for that. But at the same time, though, you know, that's that whole trust of the process that was meant to come out, that there's something in this conversation that was right for someone to hear.
Yeah.
And that's what I trust. And you know, Regan does private sessions and I do private sessions. And I want people to know that if you want to get a deeper understanding of how if you're having a struggle with trusting, or you're wanting help with moving forward, that both Regan and I do private sessions, that we can come in and dig into your personal journey of this and help you go through that the scenario of where you're at and how can you become a little bit more trustworthy in the process. Because I know that there's a lot of people who are butting up against a lot of their past history or family traditions or societal traditions that are not helping them move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much is changing right now, as both of us are seeing in our fields and the people coming to us and the problems that they're dealing with. But it's exciting to see all this healing going on, you know.
Yeah.
And both of us do Zoom sessions, you guys that are out there listening. And I just did another life between life session where my client actually went to heaven and back for a couple hours. And it was a Zoom session, and it was so awesome. It just works so well. And like when you do readings now, you know, I mean, you can even do it on telephone, you know, or whatever.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
But Zoom works pretty good, I think, because you get to know your, like, people get to see you face to face, you know, that way. And with me. So if anybody, between both of us here, we probably have about 8 different modalities that are awesome, that really work we have the tools for pretty much can help people with almost every single issue that they have, you know, to get better and rather quickly. It's not like the old talking therapy where you take year and year and years and years and years and years. We get right in there with energy psychology and spiritual psychology. It gets right to the root of issues. And for people that are ready to do the work, we're ready to be here to help.
Exactly. Exactly. I love supporting people in this life journey. And I know that I had a client just the other day that, you know, she was wondering how she can listen to her guides more. And it comes down to trust.
Yeah.
Trust what you're intuitively, what your that feeling is, whatever that sense is, whatever you're visioning, whatever. And your guides are always going to be positive. They're always going to be light.
Yes.
They're always going to be blessings. And I just talked to somebody today about dreams, and she was having some really dark dreams. She's a dream walker. And so she's going in and doing a lot of soul walk and soul work. And sometimes that's not always pretty, but, you know, what do we do with this? You know, and where do we go with this? And I helped her out a little bit today with some tools, you know, on how to come back from really icky dreams, you know, and those dark dreams, you know, how do you come back from them? And so, you know, going into this, we all have a personal journey right now. And it's not easy sometimes to walk alone while doing it.
That's what feels good too. I know. I was like, there were people that helped me, and I've been thankful to them for 30 years now, that they, you know, they were there for me, and now it's nice to be there for others like you and I are there for people too. And that's what gives us that's kind of our pay more than the monetary part.
Exactly. So Regan, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, I want people to go to my website, even if you're watching the show and you haven't been to it in a while. It's all new. It's visittheafterlife.com. There's a lot of great videos on there on spiritual therapy and also on traditional therapy. There's videos in the spiritual therapy. You can watch a young lady actually going to heaven and back. It's a pretty long process. If you just, you know, hang in there, it's really worth watching. And there's Amazon Prime now. Within a few weeks, it'll be coming. If you write this down, it's called Journeys into the Soul. And it's a 10 episode thing of people all around the world that are working with the Newton Institute and with Dolores Cannon's quantum healing, which I work with both. And you can see people in Denmark and in London and United States, and they're all going through this process of discovering why they were born and what their mission is, and that when they go to the other side. So it's going to be, I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen the trailer. If you go Journeys into the Afterlife, it'll come up and you can see the trailer of it. And it's really exciting. So I'm excited about that this is kind of words getting out more and more now, you know, that people can do this, you know.
Exactly. Kind of like the book of your friend where, you know, now it's time for her book to come out because now miracles are miracles are every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Miracles are every day. You know, and it's just like, you know, a miracle could be where something happened at work and I felt the energy that I needed to bring clothes to change into afterwards because I didn't want to wear a dress all day. And here I needed to wear those clothes because something happened at work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see Natasha now, you've gone for it with intuitiveclarifications.com.
Yes.
What if somebody types in angelic clarifications? Well,
it'll still get to that. It will still come.
But I love it. I love it. Intuitive clarifications. There's something about that. That's it. That's you. Yeah.
It's me, intuitive. And then I do clarifications of life. But thank you, Regan, for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I like to talk with you just a few minutes if you have time afterwards.
Okay. Yes.
I hope that everybody finds that this is, this show's about giving you perspectives and perceptions on how to negotiate your life. And thank you, Veronica, for saying that. I'm learning to trust the process. Thanks for a wonderful show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I haven't seen
everybody
Veronica
here watching. Thank you very much. Yeah. I do hope that you find your truth and you trust your intuition and your gut, because your path is yours. This is just part of the process of getting some food for thought, for lack of a better word, to negotiate your world. And blessings on this journey of where you're at in life. And, you know, we've got a lot of new things coming to us, a lot of old things, a lot of old, you know, old stuff that, you know, canning, you know, I've been saying for years that the elder way works for us, not necessarily the old way, but the elder way, canning, you know, herbs and finding our truth and discerning out our health and getting back to gut health again and you know, doing those things that help us. We've gotten into processed foods, you know, eat for breakfast what feels right to you instead of what is good for you. Like I had tuna fish for breakfast. Who eats tuna fish for breakfast?
Sharks,
right? But that's what my body wanted. So find your truth through the mix-up of life's story.
Yep.
You're going to be healthier, much wiser, and more in alignment with your life path. So I'll be here next Wednesday. This Sunday I'm on at 9 o'clock on 1150 KKNW. You can listen live, KKNW 1150.
Nice.
On Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and I do animal communication and basically all over just great health.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One last thought. One of my clients 2 weeks ago, she decided not, you know, we found out when she went to the other side, decided not to have kids in this life because she wanted to come down and spend her time making the world better for animals. And so she's gonna working with the Humane Society and everything. So she's on the other side, and we ask if the souls of her past dogs, because she's been a dog lover and she's outlived, of course, most of her dogs, you know. And boom, there they were. All of her, she had like five dogs that
wow.
she wanted to see from the other side, and she was just ecstatic. And so I asked the dogs, I said, ask the dogs if you can go visit their part of heaven for a while there. And the dog said, sure. So all of a sudden she's looking around. So what do you see? And she goes, oh my God, there's a whole bin full of tennis balls here. and she saw this whole bin full of treats for the dogs, you know, and the dogs were all playing with each other. They all knew each other. And the dogs told her that the recent dog that she just adopted, they said, we led you to her because we knew you were the one that she needed to be healed. So the dogs from the souls of the dogs from the other side guided her intuitively to get this dog that they knew that was in trouble, and she's rescued now. And they said, you'd be the perfect mom for this, you know, for this animal. So it just shows you how soul, even dog souls from the other side are communicating, you know, and she trusted and, you know, whatever, you know. So, and then all of a sudden there's this elephant that comes up, and she's just communicating with this energy of this elephant and petting his tusk. And it was like, oh my
the
gosh.
The wise ones of the elephants.
Yes, yes. I mean, so people, animals, bless you, the people that are taking care of animals and that, because they, you know, and they're taking care of you, as we're finding out too. You know, it's a two-way thing. And they have souls just like us, and they have their own special place up there. So
exactly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, blessings to everyone.
Okay,
and may everyone find love and miracles in their life.
Yeah. And I'll see you next month.
Yes. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Oh, no. Do end live stream, Natasha. Oh, Paula says, I can trust the process. I can trust myself. But sometimes I think the universe and sometimes the fae, LOL, are not allowed in this process. Yes, my dear. They always add a little salt and pepper and a lot of this.
Yeah.
Remember, trusting is not always a straight line. It's
no.
not always a straight line. But find what it's supposed to teach you along the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Paula, for being here.
Thanks,
bye now.
Paula.